Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning.
Good morning. Here's Johnny.
Thank you, worship team. First things first, we're going to have communion this morning, so you may be seated for a little while. As you know, every Sunday, first Sunday of the month, we always have our corporate communion. And every other Sunday, we have communion set for you in the back. And so whether it's for you as an individual or go with your spouse or child, whatever it may be, there's always communion set in the back for all of us. That's an every Sunday thing. So as the servants go through and pass out the elements this morning, please hold on to them so that we can all take it together. And I've said it before, but in case you're new here, there are two little cups, one on top of each other, and sometimes it's a little hard to take them apart. So just pray a lot and keep working at it. But they will come apart, trust me. So anyway, just take them apart, hold on to them, and as soon as you're all served, then we will take communion together. It's a nice quiet time. You could be thinking about what we're about to do, right? Yes. Quite something that is very meaningful, what Jesus did on that cross. And so it's just a time to remember, just a time to come before Him. And sometimes we think about, you know, well, there's even a scripture that says to examine yourself. And sometimes we think, oh, well, if you do that, that means there's all kinds of junk upon you. Well, if that's anything in your mind, that should be driving you to the cross rather than taking you away. Just so you know that whatever it is that maybe the enemy tries to remind you of, that doesn't belong to you anymore. And so just enjoy the freedom that you have in the acceptance of Christ in your life. And thank Him. Not yet. you're getting primed up, huh? I think we're all have our elements with us. If you would please stand with me. And the Word tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, after giving thanks, He said that He took bread and He gave it to His disciples. So this, as we know, symbolizes the bread that He gave His disciples. So as I read this, you can repeat after me. It says, "Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing and for the healing of all your children. Thank you that by your stripes, by the beatings you bore, by the lashes which fell on your back, we are completely healed. Ditto, right? I believe and I receive. Please take the bread. Next time I'll do it in half. And in the same way, He took the cup and gave it to His disciples. So please repeat. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood. Your blood has brought me forgiveness. and wash me from every sin. I thank you that your blood has made me righteous. And as I drink, I celebrate and partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which is preservation, healing, and wholeness. Please take the cup. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us on that cross. I bless every person in this congregation, Lord, to just always remember you, Lord. Always keep you in their foresight, Lord, as they walk through this journey together. Bless you in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Woo!
Well, that was fun. Okay. The servants will pick up your cups and just put them off to the side there with wherever they are. So my message today is on a verse that you're all very familiar with, and that is and Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So what is there not to love about such a scripture, right? Beautiful scripture. We see it on cards, plaques, banners. But this isn't just something nice to look at. This is God's word, God's heart. It's His promise. God's word is not just to be looked at. It's for us to allow it to penetrate into our hearts, and that we have to believe whatever it is that God said, that we believe, and that we believe that it will come to pass. Now, we all agree that God's timing is perfect, and we may sometimes not understand it, but we do believe it. I know sometimes we think that God's kind of lagging behind a little bit. You know, we like to see things happening right now, right? And so in our timeline, it seems like maybe God's just taking a break or something. But we do know that that God's timing is perfect. Can you also believe that we are here at a perfect time? This perfect place, surrounded by people that He chose to walk with us. Look around you, and I really do mean look around. Just look at the people that you're surrounded with. Somebody here that's sitting close to you or around you, somebody here really loves you. They truly love you. It isn't just like I get to see you on Sunday and life is good. There's a real heart for you. Somehow God has brought that person to really be meaningful in your walk today. But then you also, as you look around, is there someone that kind of God shines a light on that maybe needs a touch from Him that can only come through you? That person maybe has gained trust in you and chooses to share their heart with you. And so Here is that same person that maybe loves you, that maybe God's told you, say something. Give him a word from me. Give him a hug from me. Whatever it is that he's asked you to do, he surrounded you with this group of people, and it's not just for you to see him once a week or whatever. This is your family. From the day we were born, he began to unveil the plan that he had for our lives. And he didn't need us here 200 or 300 years ago. He wants us here today. And he has gifted us with his Holy Spirit. He has placed his hand upon us. And he blessed us so that we could also be a blessing to others. We have all that he is. In Hebrews 11 gives us a list of all the Old Testament heroes, people that were of great faith, people like Noah, people like Moses, Abraham, and so many others. And they were here at just that perfect time. They all came just when God wanted them to come. And I want to read just out of Hebrews 11:38-40. Like I say, these are all great people that God had intended for them to be here at that time. And it says, the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the desert, the mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And that is, of course, we know Jesus, right? The why God chose that specific time to send Jesus, it's not for us to question. Yet it was the perfect time. So many years that these people walked their life, but not until Jesus, in God's perfect timing. They had all died before Christ came, but it was God's plan that they would be rewarded together with all us Christian believers. They needed Jesus. And there may be some of us today thinking that we are at an end to what God has planned for us. Kind of on the downslope maybe for that great plan that he had set out for us. That it's time, it's that we had fought the good fight. It's time for someone else to step in. And that can be so far from the truth. That is not right. My wife and I, we love sitting outside. And we love to see the sun go down. How many of you like doing that? How many of you like sunsets? Most of us, that's such a beauty that comes in there. There's a peace, there's a beauty in seeing an end to sometimes a tiring day, sometimes where you've been busy, you've been maybe doing things around home, things with people. But it's nice to be able to sit and just watch that come to a place that you can say, okay, it's time to rest. But even then, we're making plans for our tomorrows. We can sit there and think about, okay, well, you know, that's it for today, but what are we doing tomorrow? Praying that God would grant us another sunrise. How many of you like sunrises? How many of you wake up in the morning to see a sunrise? When was the last time you saw a sunrise? Some of us like to sleep late, right? No, we should be looking forward to our tomorrows. You know, it's not time for us to just say, well, I just saw my last sunset, and I guess I'll never get to see another sunrise. That should not be our attitude. Our attitude should be, what's for tomorrow, Lord? What do you have for me? And you got to admit that if you do get to see that sunrise, there must be something wonderful that God has planned for your day. Amen. He lets you take another breath. He lets you get up and look forward to your day. There must be something wonderful that He wants to do through you, with you. And that's the thing, with you. And so you think about, what could that wonderful thing be? You know, we might be thinking, oh, I got to go save the world, you know. But it can be as simple as just spending time with someone you love. Just being with somebody that maybe you need to be around. And as far as I'm concerned, I want to be here on this earth as long as He wants me to be here. And I want to see many, many sunrises. But I want to do it for His glory. If he let me wake up that day, there's something that I am to walk in. And like I said, it doesn't have to be saving the world, but it could be saving somebody you love just by hanging out with them. Especially that He wants to hang out with you. You know, God placed us here so He could have a relationship with us. He likes hanging out with us. Amen. He likes just being with us. He likes to see us grow. He likes to see us play. He likes to see us having dinners or whatever it is with those that love us and we love. But there's other things that He has planned for us. And all we need to do is to be listening. I want to go to Philippians 1:21. Okay. And this is Paul writing. And you know, Paul had some different kinds of issues, whether it be physical or just trials that he went through. But it says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Things that he's going through, you know, he might be thinking, you know, I'd rather be out of here, you know. All of us want to see the face of God, right? But once again, I want to read verse 22. And it says, I'm sorry. It says, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. He's still going to be doing stuff. It's not like, I'm not doing well. You know I'd rather be in heaven with Jesus. But he says, as long as I'm here, I want to be fruitful in the things that I do. And that should be all of our attitudes, that we are doing something for the glory of God. And it's, you know, it sounds in the end there where he says about that your boasting in Christ will abound on account of me. It sounds like he's being a little like, just because of me, you got, it is that way. It's that you bring out those things that God wants to show people, show them Christ. And if you don't, they may not ever hear it. And so regardless of where we find ourselves, whether a lot of us seems like anymore, you know, it's the sooner God takes me to heaven, the sooner I'll be good with it. And we can't be thinking that way. Regardless of our ages, regardless of where you stand with maybe your physical ailments or your daily trials, whatever it is, that maybe you go, man, I'm just tired of all this. You know, I just want to go to heaven. That should not be our attitude. He's got stuff for us to do. He's got things that he has prepared. The title of my sermon is Perfect Plan. He has a perfect plan. And that's where we need to, perfect time, I'm sorry. He has that perfect plan for this perfect time. And so this is where we should all be. We should all be just at his beck and call, but always hanging out with him so we know what he wants for us. So if you're feeling tired, you're feeling hurting maybe, sometimes we're not able to do some of the things we used to do. As we see with Paul, he didn't give up. He was still saying, Lord, use me. Here I am. And as long as you let me have another day, then I want for there to be fruit from my being. And that's where we should be. God's not done with us. And he will equip us. He will give us a strength beyond our understanding. Sometimes we just feel like, boy, I can't go another day. But he will give you the strength that without your understanding that you will make it. He is, it says that his joy is the one that gives us strength. Every day that we wake up, we should be able to just think about him, just see what he's doing, what is around you, and be able to gather strength from that joy that you have just because you know that he's with you, just because you know that regardless of what this day brought, that he's going to be with you and walk with you, and he's not going to step away from you. He has this day planned out for you. So yes, it should be our heart's desire to someday be with Jesus and see that face of God. But until that day, we are to be about the Father's business. I didn't know if I should bring this up or what, but when I put down, when I wrote down about the Father's business, I was impressed. Most of you know that the Pope, he passed away, right? We have a new Pope. And the other Pope, the older Pope, had been sick and in the hospital, whatever. But he came, they let him out. And he was Easter Sunday, and he was out bringing the word to his Catholic people. Easter Sunday. Monday morning, he passed away. And so, not that we're Catholics or anything, but I thought that was a good commendation for someone. He just went until he had nothing else. He couldn't give no more. But did he pray and say, Lord, give me one more sermon, one more time with my people, whatever it is. But that should be our attitude, right? Just one more thing for you, Lord. But I want to do it again tomorrow because I'm not ready to go yet. And you can give me one more thing then too. As I said earlier, I want to be here as long as he wants me to be here. And I hope that's many, many, many sunrises from today. I hope you're there too. So, as we're all about the Father's business, what does being about the Father's business mean to you specifically. Jesus said that he only did what the Father directed him to do. And sometimes we have to wait and listen for his direction. We heard that from Rebecca earlier. Wait, pay attention, listen. Instead, we might wind up getting tired because we're tiring ourselves, maybe spinning our wheels, doing things we like to do. You know, there's things I like to do. And they look good. They're churchy stuff. But that's not what God told you to do. And so it's so important to not just go do something because it looks good, but to do something because you were directed to do so by the Holy Spirit. And when you're in that place, you're not going to get tired. You're going to be able to have the strength, and you're going to be able to walk in that direction that was set out for you. So sometimes it may be a little hard to try to differentiate between your wants and God's wants, but there is a difference. And if you can get to that point that you can clearly hear his voice, then whatever you do is going to be something that you're not going to be tiring. So when we're doing those things that that we want to do, we are missing what could be a much greater blessing. He needs us to be his hands, but his hands and feet, and a voice to a world that needs Jesus. Now let's go to Romans 1:24. All right, starting with verse 24, going through 31. It says, therefore, God gave them over in sinful desires. He's talking about these different people. Gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolvent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, and they disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy, although they know God's righteous decree that those who continue to do these very things but also approve of those who practice them. Now, I read that whole thing, and I looked at it. This was written in 57 AD. But it's really a small picture of today, right? And as you look at today, there's so much more that you could add to that. And of course, if you go through our Bible, there's other scriptures that describe some of the things that the people were doing back then. But looking at this, and we're going, here we are. You know, same old stuff going on. But one of the things that stood out to me was the word they. As I read that, you saw that come to be quite a bit. So who is they? It could be someone that has been set in your path. You haven't even met yet, but he's there. He's somewhere there. You will come across this person. That could be a they. They did this. Well, that person will need you. Or could it be someone you know? And God told you, reach out to that person. And you just keep putting it off. You haven't done it yet. Could they be someone very close to you? Even as close as your son or your daughter, your spouse, our grandchildren. The moral values that we held are slowly disappearing. Encouraged by our government, our schools, certain churches, and sadly, even some parents. I want to go to Deuteronomy 6 through 4. Starting with verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." How much priority are we given to the teaching of those very important values? The term spreading the gospel may bring to mind that we're going to be sent out to some foreign country somewhere. I always think, yeah, you got to go spread the gospel. Okay, where is it, Africa? Or, you know, it always seems to bring in that context when you hear we got to spread the gospel. And though some people are called to do that, most of us are not called to go in that direction. If you are, God bless you, and we will support you. But most of us have not been called in that way. For there is a place that can even be more challenging than going to another country. I have a reminder in my office that says, if you want to change the world, start at home. A good reminder as to not get our visions so wide out there when God's not given us that vision. But it shouldn't be an issue that what you have right in front of your face is your responsibility. Your children, grandchildren. And as challenging as it is, that is a challenge that we must meet. When I say start in your home, that can also mean your extended family. That can also mean this church family. And so look around you and see that just maybe that ministry, that call is right in front of your face and not some other country. The godly foundation that we set for our children will always serve as a reminder of who they truly are. And even if they stray for a time, we can hold to the promise that they will come back in His perfect time. Hold on to that. Believe it. God is about restoring families. God is about building families, but families with good values, families that will, as that Deuteronomy says, that will speak about Him, that will carry on those things. If we place them in our children's hearts and in their minds, it'll continue to come from their lips. They'll be able to tell their children and their children's children about what we have taught them. You've got it in the palm of your hands. Do something with it. I am proof of what I'm talking about. In my late teens and into my early 30s, I placed God on a shelf. I knew He was always there. Because every time I'd get in trouble, I'd call out to Him, and guess what? He always answered me. But I never, I was too busy living life to really look at Him as a priority in my life. I knew about Him. I knew He was there. I prayed to Him now and then. But that was the extent of it. But even when I wasn't faithful, He was. His grace, His mercy covered my bad choices. He had something special planned for me that I didn't see at that time. I never did see myself standing behind a pulpit. Just like Pastor Henry says, that was not my vision of tomorrow, you know. But He saw me. He saw me standing behind this pulpit. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm thankful that he saw me when I couldn't. So what does life in your home look like? That's to every one of you. Is there peace? Is there prayer? Is there laughter? Evidence of the fruit that the Spirit brings. If we want our children to pass on good values, we must demonstrate by our example. So I'm going to read three scriptures, and let's see what you think of them. 1 Peter 3. Okay, 1-7. And it says, wives, in the same way submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and the reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles, wearing of gold jewelry, or fine clothes. Rather, it should be of your inner self and the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are the daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Now, these are all great things. I tried getting Stella to call me Lord. She won't. She wouldn't go that far. But the truth of the matter is that you know, a lot of you ladies may not have the privilege of having your husbands be here to worship with you for whatever reasons. But do you know that, as I just read, that when they see the Spirit of God in you, they can't do nothing but let it be evident in their lives to see what God's done with you. Stella was the first one to start doing all these wonderful godly things. And I was just kind of in the background watching her. But I had to notice there was something different about my wife whenever she came to God. And there was no way that I could turn my face away from that. And part of God's plan was to give me this beautiful woman so that he could see me here. And so all I want to say to you ladies, don't give up on your husbands. Amen. Don't give up. Because God has a plan for them. He's not done with them yet. And the other part, ladies, go ahead, put on your makeup. And and put on your jewelry. You look good. So there's a lot of stuff here that goes with it. So let's go on. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, that nothing will hinder your prayers. A lot of times people come up when they say about the weaker partner, that's got nothing to do with human strength, even though it is. But you ladies are as strong as you need to be. You're strong in the Lord. And so, yeah, do you need us guys? Yeah, maybe. Maybe we might have a little more muscle in some areas than you might. But I'll tell you what, I've seen some ladies I don't want to tangle with. Yeah. Okay, you got me. I'll do what you say. There's some tough ladies out there. So the strength, that kind of strength, isn't really what we're talking about here. And the part that really stands out too, it says that so nothing will hinder your prayers. It says, be considerate. Treat them with respect. And when we do that, when we see our wives for who they truly are, beautiful women of God, how can you not respect them? How can you not lift them, like love them like God loved the church? And so, guys, if for some reason you've been praying for stuff and hasn't kind of been happening, you might look at the scripture one more time. Maybe that's why your prayers aren't being answered. Let's go to James 3. Okay, and this is 9 through 12. And this is for both men and women. With a tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. What's coming out of our mouths? How do we speak at home? The question earlier was, what's your life like at home? And so, are we using our mouth, our voice, to lift God, to speak good things to our husband, wife, kids, friends, whatever it is? How's our mouth being used? It says that you can't have both. You can't praise God and curse people. So if that is an issue, please come to God and just say, Lord, I need your help. I need that. There's a lot of people that, you know, using the Lord's name in vain is like a saying good morning. And something that simple could be enough to fit into this scripture here, right? You don't do that. And so watch how you speak. Watch what you say. And the more that you ask God's help in that area, the more you're going to see that it's just going to be natural. All that junk that used to come out won't come out anymore because you're giving him permission to have your mouth. And so, ladies, men, that's for both of you. Let's go to Colossians 3. And it's 1, just going to read 1 and 2. That's something you've read before. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. So how do you justify your time? Time is probably the most important thing that God has granted us here on this earth. We can use our time to, like I said, you know, pray and laugh and enjoy those around you. We can also use our time to waste it, right? So are we spending more time listening to the news, watching the different programs on TV? And let me tell you, that's nothing wrong with that. It's just the ratios that we're doing here, right? It's good to know what's going on around us. But it's better to know what God's doing in your life. So are we spending more time listening to those voices that really don't matter? Or are we spending more time listening to the voice of God that really does matter? And if we want to hear what his plan is for us today, we've got to listen to him. We've got to give him time to speak to us. And not just a passing by time and say, okay, thank you, Lord. No, good quality time to spend with him. Good ways to spend your time. The next scripture was written for those seeking to be overseers or deacons of a church. But I believe that it can apply for all of us today. So I want to go to 1 Timothy, and 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Okay. 1 Timothy 3. Maybe I got the wrong one. There we go. There's two Timothys in my Bible. I don't know if you knew that. Okay. Here we go. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Says, here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Now that is something to kind of put off to the side and look at, as I said earlier, our home is where we start. And until we can get our home in order, we shouldn't be looking to minister outside of that. Doesn't mean you can't, but always, and I know, trust me, I know kids can be a challenge until they get to be 90, but so I'm not saying just raise them until they finally retire, but there comes a time that we let go of them. There comes a time that that they're on their own. They're God's, right? But while they're in your home, while they're under your roof, they're ours. They're ours to guide. They're ours to teach. And yet, for that time, this is the time that you should be paying more attention to your children than to this church. Pastor Henry's going to fire me now. Let's go on. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. See, in that area right there, I think what he's talking about is that sometimes when you start doing a ministry in a church body, and right away maybe they put you to head off some area or some group or whatever, you tend to get this pride thing. Hey, look where I'm at. And I think that's where this comes in, where it says, just like Satan was pride. And so if you're a recent convert, sometimes you may not be prepared and ready for a job that requires your real heart and not just your own flesh. Just a little line on the side there. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So what does that tell us? It's not just that we come here and fold our hands and pray on Sundays and that's it. We're supposed to be like this every day. People should, wherever we are, people should be seeing us as that representative, that reflection, that image of Christ. And whatever we do, however we speak, wherever we are, the places that we go to, how we behave, those around us should be able to say, now, I want to be like that guy. There's something about that person that I want to be like. But if we're no different than they are, why should they? Jesus was here at God's perfect time. He has empowered us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. All that he is, we have. And I hope you all agree that this world needs Jesus more than ever. And Jesus needs us to tell them. Naturally, our world looks dim. Supernaturally, God is preparing for a great outpouring of His Spirit. The response of the church will have the greatest impact on how this moment will develop. Whether you were born 10 years ago or 60 years ago, you are here in God's perfect timeline. You and I have a choice. We can be a great part of this, or just sit and watch from the sidelines. If that's our choice, God still will love us, but we would be missing one of God's greatest blessings. Please stand with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. That is, that He would protect you and hold you close. The Lord make His face shine on you, that He would smile and be pleased with you. That He would be gracious to you, that He would be merciful and compassionate. The Lord turn His face towards you, that He would show His favor, His approval, and that He would give you peace, that you would be able to rest in Him. Amen.
Amen.
Go have fun with your family.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.